Open our Bibles now to Luke 7. I'd like to go back just a few verses. John the Baptist, who was the forerunner of Christ, who came before the Lord Jesus began his public ministry. And John the Baptist's ministry was over. He was the forerunner of Christ, the messenger announcing that the Messiah has come. And when our Lord began to preach, John's ministry was over. And he's in prison now. And in verse 19, he called unto him two of his disciples and sent them to Jesus, saying, Art thou he that should come? Are you the Christ? Are you the Messiah? Or do we look for another? And when the men were coming to him, they said, John Baptist hath sent us unto thee, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? And in that same hour where the Lord Jesus cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. Then Jesus answering said to these messengers, Now you go your way, and you tell John what things you've seen and heard. How that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the gospel is preached. And that's physical illustrations of what our Lord spiritually came to do. He came to give the spiritual blind sight, and he came to make the spiritually lame walk, and those who are dead in trespasses and sin live. And he said in verse 23, And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Now when the messengers of John were departed, our Lord began to speak to the people who were assembled about him. Now John the Baptist's ministry was prophesied in the Old Testament. I want to show you this just a moment. Turn to the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi, the very last book, which was completed 400 years before the Lord Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And in this book, the last two verses of the last chapter of Malachi, end of the Old Testament, the Scripture says, Malachi 4, verse 5, Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet. I send you a prophet like Elijah. Elijah's already served his day and ascended back to heaven. But I send you a prophet like Elijah before the coming of the great dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Before the Messiah comes, the prophet like Elijah will come. Now who is this? Well, it's John the Baptist. How do you know, preacher? Christ tells us that. Turn to Matthew chapter 11. The Lord Jesus identifies this prophet prophesied by Malachi. In Matthew 11, verse 12, 13, 14. Here he's talking about John the Baptist again. Now listen. Matthew 11, verse 12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent, or the sincere, the energetic, take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied unto John. Now listen. And if you receive it, this is Elijah, which was far to come. John the Baptist is that prophet. He came announcing, Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Behold, the kingdom of God is among you. John the Baptist. Now he's in prison. And he sent it to his messengers to the Lord, and he said, Are you he that should come? Are you the Messiah? Look with one another. And then in verse 24 of our text, Luke 7, when these messengers were departed, our Lord began to speak to the people concerning his servant, John, and all of his true servants. John, no question in our mind, John's a true servant of God. Prophet of God, who sent on purpose by God to prepare the way of the Lord Jesus. And then our Lord Jesus began to say to these people, what did you go out in the wilderness to see? John's ministry was out in the wilderness. Herod the king went out to hear. Now, John the Baptist has been portrayed in most movies out of Hollywood as some kind of nut. When they picture John the Baptist in these religious films, they picture him with long hair that hadn't been cared for. You've seen those pictures. And dressed in some kind of ragged garb and screaming, wild look in his eye. John the Baptist was a prophet of God. John the Baptist was a man who walked with God. John the Baptist was a man who ministered in the wilderness, and people went out to hear him. The king went to hear him. Herod went to hear him. He admired John. He admired him so much, he did many, many things, you know, to try to please John, the prophet of God. He was a prophet of God. True prophet of God. And our Lord still has his true prophets, true preachers. And he sends them before he comes and deals with a sinner. They come with the word. That's true. These people knew about John. And they had heard John preach. And so our Lord says to them, now when you went out to hear John, a true prophet of God, what did you go to hear? A reed shaken with the wind? Is that what you expected when you went out to see God's prophet? Did you expect to find a weakling? Did you expect to find a compromiser? Did you expect to find a man who bends with every wind and every pressure that people put upon him? Who says what men want to hear? Who says what they approve? What says what they think themselves? Or did he deliver God's message? Unbending. Uncompromisingly, boldly and bravely. What did you go out to hear? And you went to hear John, the prophet, the true prophet, the prophet God sent, who came to announce Christ and his ministry. What did you go to hear? And then he asked him again in verse 25, what did you go to see? When you went out there to see that prophet of God, what did you expect? Did you expect to find a man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that are gorgeously appareled live delicately. They're in kings' houses. They're not out preaching the gospel. Did you go expecting to find a man gorgeously appareled, living delicately, as in king's courts, promoted by the politicians? As many preachers are today, recognized by the state leaders, honored by the powers that be, promoted in the press. Is that what you expected to find? Know ye not, James the apostle wrote later, know ye not that the friendship of the world is in enmity with God? And those preachers and prophets that will be a friend of the world are enemies of God? What are you looking for, Christ said, in a preacher? A weak man blows the way the wind's blowing where he's standing at that particular time. Or a man who's covetous, compromiser, wants to get along with everybody, wants to be rich, increase with goods, use you to promote himself. Is that what you expect? He asked him a third question. He said, when you went out to see God's prophet, this preacher representing Almighty God, what did you go out to see? A preacher? Yes, I say unto you, and much more than just a preacher. My friend, the world is full of preachers. I was preaching out in Oregon 2 or 3 years ago, and the fellow that played the piano and I got along real well. He was an inventor. He had invented something that they were going to put on the market over in Europe, having to do with farming, this farming area where I was. And he listened to me preach for 4 or 5 days, and we got along real well. But he was one of those studious fellows that didn't know much about the common Southern sayings. And I was preaching along this line. I said, you just don't listen to every preacher. The woods are full of preachers. after the service, he came up to me and he said, "There's something you said in your message that I don't quite understand what you're talking about. The woods are full of preachers. What are they doing in the woods?" But I'm simply saying there are a lot of them. A lot of them. But our Lord says, what did you go out to see? Just a preacher? Just anything that represents religion? A preacher? But I say unto you, John is more than just a preacher. He's my preacher. He's my prophet. This is he, verse 27, of whom it's written, "Behold, I sent him. I sent him." And I say unto this generation and all generations, God has never left himself without a witness. There are not always a lot of them. Sometimes there are very few. He always has a witness. And there's always a preacher, a prophet, a man that God sent. It was said of John the Baptist, there was a man sent by God. He was not that light. He was sent to bear witness of that light. He's a humble man. He's a bold man, truthful man, sincere man, compassionate man. But he loved God. He intended to glorify God. "And I sent him," verse 27, "before my face, and he'll prepare the way. He'll prepare the way for me." And that's what a preacher does. You see, when the Ethiopian eunuch was reading the scriptures, and he couldn't understand them, God sent him a preacher. He sent him Philip, and Philip stepped up in the chariot beside the man, and he said, "You understand what you're reading?" He said, "How can I except some man show me?" And Philip began at that same scripture and preached to him the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is coming into this man's heart. Christ is doing a work of grace in this man's heart. Christ is revealing the gospel to this man, but he does it through a preacher. Lydia, a businesswoman, a seller of purple out of Thyatira, was down in Philippi on business. She's a religious woman, but she doesn't know God. She's very religious. And she went down by the riverside where a group of women met for prayer. And she met with them because it was the Sabbath day. And God said, she's one of God's own. The Lord Jesus is coming into Lydia's heart. But he sends Paul down there to preach to her the gospel. And while he was preaching to her, the scripture said God opened her heart. And she attended unto the things spoken by Paul. This is what our Lord is saying. I send my preacher. Peter went to Cornelius. Ananias went to Saul of Tarsus. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how are they going to call on him if they don't believe in him? And how are they going to believe in him if they haven't heard of him? And how are they going to hear of him? That somebody God sends with a message tells them. How shall they hear without a preacher? And throughout the New Testament, invariably, angels didn't preach the gospel. Men do. And the scripture tells us plainly throughout the New Testament that the Lord is pleased by the foolishness of preaching. Not by the preaching of foolishness now, but by the foolishness of preaching. Well, why do you call it the foolishness of preaching? That's what the world calls it. To the world, the preaching of the cross is foolishness, sheer nonsense. But unto us, what you call the preaching of the gospel is the power of God, the wisdom of God, the grace and love of God, the truth of God. And there's always a preacher. Always a preacher. And here in verse 28, but he talks about these preachers. I say unto you, among those born of women, there's not a greater preacher than John the Baptist. There's none greater. But, he that is least in the kingdom is greater than he. You say, I wish I could have heard John the Baptist. You don't have to hear him. Just hear any of God's preachers that are true preachers, preaching the true gospel. Because our Lord said he's the greatest man born of woman, but the preacher or the servant of God or the child of God or a simple believing witness is greater than he in the kingdom of God. There are no degrees in glory. All of God's children are loved the same, blessed the same, rewarded the same, because Christ is their reward. There's no high up and low down. There's no important and unimportant. We had four children in our home. No difference in them. You've got two, three, four, five. There's no difference. They love the same. Love the same. Actually, sometimes the weakest one gets the most attention. Actually, sometimes the one that maybe is a little more rebellious, maybe they get more love because they need it more. In God's family, there's no big and little. Verse 29. Now listen, how do people respond to John? And all the people that heard him. Verse 29. The people that heard him, the common people, the publicans and sinners, they heard him. And see what it says about what these people? And all the people and the publicans that heard him, they justified God. What's this justifying God? Vindicating God. They vindicated God. They justified God. They acknowledged that the law of God and the justice of God in calling them sinners. That's what God's justice does. It calls us sinners. It tells us plainly, there's none good, no, not one. There's none that seeketh after God. They're altogether become unprofitable. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. By one man sin entered the world, and death by sin passed upon all men. And these common people, these publicans and sinners, they acknowledged that God was telling the truth. I'm a sinner. That's what David said. Lord said, you're justified when you condemn me. You're righteous when you condemn me. I'm just what you say I am. I'm a sinner. These people, they heard John. He preached repentance. He preached faith in the coming Redeemer. And he called on them to be baptized. What is that? That acknowledge their sinners, acknowledge they deserve death, and that they die and they're buried and they rise by the power of God in faith to walk in newness of life. And these people justified God, listen, being baptized with the baptism of John. These common people. God calls them sinners and pronounces judgment upon them and calls them to repentance, and they say, true Lord, true Lord, that's what I am. They vindicated God, they justified God, and they came to the baptism of John. They said, we're sinners. We need mercy. We need grace. We confess it. And they were baptized. Baptism of repentance. Seeking mercy of God. But, listen to verse 30, but the Pharisees, these religious leaders, these men who felt that they were righteous in themselves and that their deeds and duties and their works and their rituals and their ceremonies and their keeping days, it felt like that justified them before God and made them righteous before God, and God should accept them. But the Pharisees and the lawyers, they rejected the counsel of God against themselves. They said, we be not sinners. We be not unclean. And they wouldn't be baptized of John. They refused it. John came, the common people, publicans and sinners, justified God, vindicated God, acknowledged that God tell the truth when he called them sinners. And they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the religious fellows, they said, we're not sinners. We're not sinners. We don't need mercy. We don't need grace. And they rejected confession of faith. And the Lord said in verse 31 now, he said, whereunto shall I liken the people of this generation? And to what are they like? These people that John preached to, and now that I'm preaching to, and people today, our Lord says, what are they like? Well, he said, I'll tell you. They're like children sitting in the marketplace. You who have been to other countries where they still have the marketplaces, having in Mexico and down in the islands and Puerto Rico and other places where I've been, and the The people raise their watermelons and their tomatoes and their beans and their peanuts and just have some of those beautiful marketplaces you've ever been in. And just row on row on row on row of people bringing their wares to sell. Well, all of them have children, have large families, and they bring their children. The women come in, they run the stands and all, and bring their children. And the children go over here together, and somebody takes care of them, entertains them. Keep them running around all over the marketplace and getting lost, somebody entertains them, children in the marketplace. And somebody entertains them. Our Lord said, this generation is like children sitting in the marketplace. And they call one to another and say, we've piped unto you, and you've not danced. We've played music to you, told you happy, funny stories, and entertained you, but you won't laugh. You're just sitting pout. You're not responsive. You don't receive what we're doing. You just pay no attention to us. Happy stories do not move you. And then he says, and we have mourned to you. We told you some sad stories, but some real life stories, and you haven't cried. We just can't please you, no matter what we do. Happy stories, you don't laugh. Sad, solemn, serious songs, you don't move you. And he said in verse 33, now listen, John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine. John the Baptist was a serious, solemn prophet thundering against sin, thundering against the unrighteousness of his day, greatly moved and disturbed by the way that the politicians were behaving and the people and the magistrates and the soldiers and all. He just singled them out one at a time. He said when King Herod came to hear him, he said, Herod, it's not right for you to have your brother Philip's wife. That meant his death. Herod had him killed for that. He was a thundering, serious, solemn preacher. And how'd they respond to him? Well, John the Baptist came neither eating nor drinking. He said, he got a devil. He's a regular devil. Don't want to hear him. Verse 34, and the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus, is come eating and drinking. Our Lord Jesus came preaching tender, warm. The first place he went when he began his ministry in Cana of Galilee was to a wedding. And he ran out of wine. And his mother came to him, Mary said, they're out of wine. That was a social blunder. And our Lord said, what am I to do with thee, woman? Mine hour is not yet come. She said, but they're out of wine. Well, he said, bring some jugs of water. And he turned the water into wine. And all the guests drank it. They said, this is the best I've ever tasted. Most folks serve the best wine first, and after everybody's so dull of taste they can't tell what it's like, they serve the worst. You must save the best to last. Our Lord made the best wine. He ate with publicans and sinners. He was friendly, sociable, tender, sat with the children on his lap. Just John the Baptist and the Lord Jesus, characteristically and humanly speaking, with the same message, but they were different. Well, how did they react to our Lord? They said, he's a drunk. He's a wine bibber. He's a gluttonous man. Can't please him. You know why you can't please them? They're not in trouble. They're not in need. They're not sinners. They're like those Pharisees that justify themselves and reject the counsel of God against themselves. And they're just not interested. You can sing to them and they won't laugh. You can be mournful and they won't cry. They're just rebellious, self-centered, pouting, know-it-alls, satisfied with nothing, and no way, and no hope. That's what our Lord says about them. But I tell you this, he said, verse 35, watch this now, but wisdom is justified of her children. What does that mean? It means this, wisdom, true wisdom, true message, the true gospel, the truth of God, wisdom, the wisdom of God. What is wisdom? What is wisdom? To know God, Jesus Christ, whom He has sent. That's wisdom. True wisdom. It's justified, it's vindicated, it's recognized by those who have it. That's what He's saying. True wisdom, the true message, is vindicated by those that have it. I'm come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. Let another come in his own name, him you will receive. I come with wisdom and truth and hope and eternal life. Another comes promoting himself, self-righteousness, nothing. They receive him. But wisdom, it's heard, it's received, it's vindicated by those who are children of wisdom, children of God. Now then, here's the big illustration. Our Lord's taught sinners need mercy. God sends the message of mercy by His preacher. Most of them don't hear it. Some do. Most of them are self-righteous, like that Pharisee. Don't need it. Some of them are like this woman. Now listen. One of these Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, come to his house for dinner. Why did this man invite the Lord to his house? He's a Pharisee. He's a religious. He doesn't believe Christ is the prophet. He doesn't respect the Lord. That's true. You saw that a while ago. He gave him the water to wash his feet. That was common courtesy. Everybody came into your home in those days. A servant washed his feet at the door. They wore sandals. They walked through the deserts and the dry streets and no pavement. And they washed their feet. And then the host would meet the honored guest and embrace him and kiss him on both cheeks. You've seen them do that oriental places. And then they'd give him oil to anoint his head. Welcome. This man didn't do that. He didn't respect Christ. He didn't honor him. He didn't wish to honor him. I'll tell you what he was intending to do. Bring the Lord Jesus to his house and expose him as a fraud. Now he heard what was said back here. You look back at chapter 7. But chapter 7, verse 15. Listen to this. Verse 15. This man heard this. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And the Lord delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on everybody. The Lord Jesus raised the dead man. And there came a fear on everybody. And they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us. And God has visited his people. And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea and throughout all the region round about. This rumor, he's the prophet of God. Well, this Pharisee heard that. He invited Jesus Christ to his home. Now, here's the way those feasts and dinners were set up. Up here were the dignitaries. The Pharisee with his friends sat up here in a special place. Around the walls, people came in to listen to these men. The guests all lay out here on pillars. They stretched out to eat. They lay on pillars, their feet extended. And these Pharisees and rulers and religious fellows and those guests down here, they'd banter back and forth. They'd ask questions and discuss things, and the people just sit around in silence listening to them. It's quite a situation, quite a feast. And this man invited Jesus Christ, who's going to expose him as a fraud. And they came in and had dinner. That's the invitation, all right? But there was an interruption. Look at verse 37. Right in the middle of this feast, here's our Lord out here with the guests, Pharisees up here and the people around. And behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner. When she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster box of ointment. Now listen, she'd been among those people that heard him out there preaching. What I read to you and preached to you a few moments ago about John the Baptist, about repentance, about mercy for sinners, she heard all that. And she heard that Pharisee invite him to dinner. She knew he was going to that Pharisee's house. She went to her house and got the most precious gift she had. A box of alabaster, her alabaster box of precious perfume, fragrance, ointment. put it in her arm, and started toward that Pharisee's house. And as they were sitting there at dinner, the door opened and she walked in. And I just know it, every eye looked back there. And that door opened, and that woman began to walk in that place with that box of alabaster ointment. Notorious woman, evidently. A woman, the Pharisee knew her. He knew she was a sinner. He knew she was a notorious person. She walked in. And she came to where our Lord Jesus was lying there upon pillows, his feet, dirty feet stretched out. And she, there's no accidents with God now. This is our own purpose. And she stood behind him, behind his feet, there weeping, a sinner. There's the Savior. There's the one who can show mercy to her, can raise the dead like he did that dead man, can heal the disease of sin and forgive her. And she stood there weeping. And then she stooped down and saw those dirty feet. And that made her weep more. She's weeping over her sins and weeping over the neglect her Lord received in that Pharisee's house. And her tears fell on those feet. It says she began to wash his feet with tears. And she unplaited her hair, and she had long hair, and she dried his feet with the hair of her head and kissed his feet. This is repentance. This is what those people acknowledge at the baptism of John. I'm a sinner. Born a sinner, lived a sinner, and if God has no mercy for me, I'll die a sinner and stand in the judgment. I'm a sinner. She, her life was that of sin. And she was weeping over it, weeping at the feet of her Lord. And then she took that precious ointment and just dumped it on his feet. Fragrance filled the house. You could have heard a pin drop. And that old Pharisee sitting up there in his religious, self-righteous arrogance, he said within himself, I knew he wasn't a prophet. I knew he wasn't a prophet. If he was a prophet, he'd know who this woman is. He did. He knew her from the foundations of the world. She wanted his own. How do you know you're one of his own? You act like one of his own. That's how it's revealed. How you know the Pharisee wasn't one of his own? He didn't act like one of his own. He didn't love him. Didn't need him. Didn't repent. But this woman, he knows her. If he were a prophet, he'd know what manner of woman this is. He knew all, he knew every thought she'd ever thought, every deed she'd ever done, every step she'd ever taken, every sin she'd ever committed. That's right. He knows us. But he came to save those kind of people. One of those Pharisees one time, our Lord was eating with some of these sinners and publicans, and he said to the disciples, why does your master eat with people like that? And the Lord Jesus said, now you listen. The well, people that are well don't need a doctor. But people that are sick, they need a doctor. And I'm not come to call self-righteous people to repentance. I'm come to call sinners. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. This is the kind of woman he came to save. Sinners. He died for the ungodly. She's seeking mercy. He shows mercy to everybody that seeks it. Everybody needs it. Everybody that wants it. And this old Pharisee said he wouldn't let, if he was a prophet, he wouldn't let her touch him. That guy wouldn't, but our Lord would. He loved sinners. Came to save sinners. He told his disciples, reach out and touch me. Reach out and touch the Lord while he's passing by. He won't be repelled at your touch. He welcomes it. Reach out and touch the Lord while he's passing by. You'll find he's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He's passing by this moment. Your needs to supply. Reach out, touch him. She did. That woman with the issue of blood, she said, if I can just touch his garment, I'll be made whole. And she did, and she was. And our Lord turned to that Pharisee and he said, Simon, I've got something to say to you. I've got something to say to you. You self-righteous hypocrite. I've got something to say to you. He said, well, say on. He said there was a certain creditor that had two debtors. One owed him an enormous sum, like this woman, an enormous sum. One owed him a sum he couldn't pay, no matter little or great. 2 sins or 2 billion. To offend in one part of the law is to be guilty of all of it. All of sin. And when they didn't have anything to pay, he freely forgave them. Now, who's going to love him? Know him, believe him, love him. Now, that old Pharisee said, I suppose. You never can pin one down to tell the truth. He's got to suppose. He knew good and well who would love him most. Simplest child, youngest child here knows who will love him the most. But he said, I suppose one he forgave the most. He said, you rightly judged. And I'm going to tell you something. You see this woman? You see this woman? You see her humility? You see her repentance? You see her grief over sin? You see her faith? You see her devotion? You see any of that in yourself? None. I came into your house, and you gave me no kiss, no greeting, no respect, no honor. I came into your house. You gave me no consideration. My feet, dirty and tired and hot. You didn't supply any water. She washed them with tears of her grief, dried them with the hair of her head, and anointed them with the most precious ointment she'd been saving for a special occasion. And my head with oil you did not anoint. She anointed my feet. I say unto you, her sins, which are many, are all forgiven. But him, and I, my closing remarks this morning to me and to you, do we see this woman? And do we see any of this in ourselves? Can I really, at his feet, kneel down and take my place as a sinner? Me and you. And know that he's my only hope. I'm not embarrassed. She has the whole town around here. All these leaders. And here she is, down on her feet, kissing, down on her knees, kissing the feet of the Son of God. David said in the Psalm, you kissed the Son, lest he be angry. Judas kissed him on the cheek and went to hell. This woman kissed him on the feet. Unto glory. Kiss his feet. Kiss his feet. Come to his feet as a mercy beggar. She was a mercy beggar. She said like that leper that met him when he came down from the mountain. He said, Lord, here I am, scaly, rotten, putrid, diseased. If you will, you can make me whole. And the Lord said, I will, be thou clean. And that's what this woman received. Her sins, which are many, are all put away. Boy, I tell you, that's the best news you ever heard. Your sins, which are many, are all put away. All right, let's sing a closing hymn.